Welcome to Overcrest. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jake.
Take two with Jake with his dumb hat.
I didn't hear the intro music either, which is also very strange. I feel
Why
like this
didn't
is...
you say something? We did 20 minutes of
it.
This episode, and it wasn't...
I didn't realize it. Now I see that I'm recording, which is
All
great.
Right. Now we got to go. I got to listen to you talk about your stupid 951 product again for 20 minutes again.
Yeah, but no
Jake.
One else has, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And like second time around, you know, it'll be better.
It'll
always.
Be better. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, Jake,
yes.
Did you know that we have shirts and hats?
I do.
And stickers?
Yes.
In the
we
store?
We have a whole store. We have an
With
Overcrest
all
store.
Kinds of stuff. And it is
yes.
the highest quality stuff.
We it is high quality.
We find the best hats. The
Which
best
is
shirts and stickers are what they are.
For
so
us.
I can't say that we have the best stickers because it's a fucking sticker. But hey, shirts, super
I
high
like
quality
our stickers.
They're fine. They're stickers. I mean, they are nice.
Yeah,
they're nice. I mean, they don't turn
yes.
like you don't need a razor blade to take them off or anything. They're super nice.
That's true.
Super
yeah,
nice stickers.
Yep. We have nice hats, which you said I do not look good in a hat.
You do not. You look stupid in a hat. My dog is outside. I got to put my dog back in the house. It's full chaos over here at the Overcrest Production Studio. Tell them where to go find the stuff.
Yeah, you can head over to overcrestproductions.com. Right at the top there, you can hit apparel, and you have all sorts of awesome gear to support us. We, like I said, we use high quality stuff, and it is a little more expensive for us. We don't mark up a whole bunch, though, so it's not a bad deal. It's awesome stuff. Stickers, shirts, hats, like my hat right here, which I'm gonna take the hat off.
Yeah, you look dumb.
I can't
you
do
look
that.
Like a, you look like an extra out of Sandlot with that
you what?
Hat on. You look like an extra from Sandlot with that shirt. It's not good, dude. It's not good
no,
at all.
Not good. No. I tried putting it backwards before, and you said that was not good. That was worse.
Also not good. Not good.
Somehow.
All right,
So what's going on,
I feel
on,
like
Chris?
I don't even want to talk about your 951 anymore.
Well, let's whatever. I know, but no one else heard that. So
all right. here's my problem, and I want to reiterate this again.
Okay.
You did a...
Yeah.
And you did like a thing where you threw your hat on the table, and you were all super excited, and you're like, I'm going to get this
beer,
thing... I'm going to get
wrenches.
This thing running. Well, that was probably one of your first problems, is you drank a depressant, like a mental and physical depressant before you started working.
Right away.
Also
yeah,
part of
right
the
problem. Okay.
Stop drinking beer while you work on cars.
Breakfast
beer. Knock it off. Just
Why?
Stop.
Why?
Because it's
enjoyable.
Makes
it makes it enjoyable, Chris.
No,
this
it
is
doesn't.
My whole point. You need to be able to enjoy the process, which I was not doing. It was very not
You
enjoyable.
Promised us that it would crank over at the end of the weekend.
I never said I promise.
What is a promise? If I say, Jake, I'm going to have
pinky
this running.
Promise doesn't count.
Yeah, come on. If I go, Jake, I'm going to have this thing running by the end of the weekend. And Jake, I promise I'm going to have the thing running at the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
My expectation of it happening is the same. Because you told me it was going to happen. You told
Your promise
me
adds a little weight,
that thing
but...
would crank over.
Yes,
and
it didn't even crank.
I thought
crank.
There was going to be Instagram stories. I thought it was going to be fun.
I did too.
I was excited.
That's what I thought.
And then there
yeah.
was zero
right
content. Except for Colin leaning over your thing and said, help has arrived. And that's it. There was
right.
nothing.
No, and it was very depressing.
I even asked you what was happening and you didn't even
yep,
respond.
And I just ignored. Ignore. Defeat. Depressing.
Why? What happened?
Failure. Car's gone. It's on fire. Down the street. It's a charred
remains. You know what would be funny is the absolute violence of you rolling a car, because your driveway has got to be like
so
a 20
steep.
Degree incline.
It would be, I'd just light it on fire and drive it, and it would go right in the neighbor across
it would
the street's
go right
living
through their
room.
Front door.
Here you go. No, so, okay. It
that
was
would
not...
end up on one of those. What is the State Farm? We covered that commercials or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it's got the dude
yeah.
and it's got
yep.
like the
we
reenactment. Can you imagine
yes.
the reenactment?
Oh my
of that
god!
Happening?
It'd be so
Instead
good.
Instead of you though, it'd probably be like a tall, handsome guy, and he just like he would be pushing it. Instead of your car, it would probably be just because it would have to be more mainstream. It would be
yep,
F-150,
an old Mustang or something, yeah,
or a Mustang or something like that. And he would yep. roll it down the driveway. And they would probably make it like 4 miles long. So the thing was going like 90 miles an hour by the time it got into the next guy's house across the street. And
I love
be a
this.
Bomb goes off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It's great. No, that should have happened because it was a short list of what I had to do. So I honestly did think I anticipated I would get it at least cranking over.
Right.
And it was, as we talked about, because this is take two, it was failure after failure. First things first, it started out good. I got the oiling system all buttoned up, put oil in it. No drips. Good.
Right.
It's not pouring out the bottom somewhere. Then I move on to the coolant system. I had like one or two more heater hoses in the back of the block to get to, and I finally got that set up, filled it full of coolant, dripping everywhere from every orifice, every
There's nothing worse than coolant on the floor. Nothing.
Well, luckily,
it's slippery, stinky.
Yes.
You worry about your dog licking it.
Right, because they drink it and it's poisonous. Yep. But no, luckily it I just used water. I was because I didn't want to waste coolant. You're right. Well, water is a coolant, but it's not
antifreeze. You put water in and it doesn't make a mess because it always leaks every time. I don't care how many times you went around tighten the clamps. It always
leaks. So like sensor needed a new O-ring or like this crush gasket that I didn't have.
None of this seems like this all seems
No, this isn't
par
bad yet. This isn't bad yet.
This is all
yet.
Par.
Understood.
Normal.
And then a bunch of hose clamps needed replacing the clamp because they're crap from China that I ended up buying. So you told me, I was reminded, every time you go to the junkyard, you steal like the really good German
Norma,
OEM
Norma clamps.
Hose clamps.
Yeah.
Yes. I need to do that because every
they don't
single
have,
hose clamp
perforated.
You buy is junk.
Yeah, they're perforated. And when it's over time, especially, they start to deteriorate the hose. The hose starts to like poke through like some sort of hose clamp muffin top.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I had to go through, and then I
Plus
realized
they look like shit, and it's an attention to detail problem. When I look in your engine department, you have the shitty clamps.
If you see the shiny, shitty clamp from China.
Not good.
I know. It's not good. So, okay, replaced all those, go to like top it up again with water, and it's still leaking. I'm like, where's that coming from? It's coming from the radiator itself. So it's a plastic end cap. Ooh, see, there's the goods.
Right here. These
those
are all
the
brand
goods.
New. These are I bought Ooh. These for all the fuel line stuff I have to do on the Mercedes.
Yeah, those
brand
are the
new
good ones.
Norma clamps.
I like it.
See how there's no hole on them? They're not perforated.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And so that was the first kind of like defeating like crap. Radiator is leaking where the intake meets the center core, right? So good news is I have
like, is it
another radiator.
Or is it seeping or is it leaking?
It's seeping. It's okay. A good drip, 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 drip. So it's
You're
not
ideal. Putting some pepper in your coolant?
No, and I was like, could I do like some leak stop? And Colin's
get that crap
like,
gets all over the inside.
Do you
of the
want
motor?
That
it's
in your
bad.
Block? Like,
nope.
Yeah, no. And I have another radiator on the floor from the donor car that I can just pressure test that with a hose and make sure that doesn't leak.
Sure.
So fine, but I'm moving on from that. And then I go to start working on all of the vacuum lines, the hoses. That is a
nightmare
in this car because
so you have a manual that shows you the routing of this stuff. How are you knowing what the routing?
It's really well documented online. I do not have a book, which you pointed out, and I was like, yeah, I do need the book for this, which I never bought. But you can download the full like Porsche factory PET manual online as a PDF that I have just open and all the other things. And it's people try to simplify is one of the modifications you do. It's like the well-known modification is the Venturi delete, and you're simplifying a lot of the hose routing. It's still a lot. So yes, I know where it all goes, but the factory hoses,
I still don't see the problem of why you
don't have. I'm getting there. The factory hoses that I don't have are like $100 for every like 1 foot little perfectly formed hose, which is stupid. And I was missing a few that I didn't realize. So we went to the auto parts store, and it's the thing where you go, all right, your make model. What is this? This is a what hose? It's like, no, just can I please come in the back and you can walk back there with me?
This
or
guy
leave
was
me
giving
alone.
You a hard time.
He's like, oh, I don't know. Well, okay, first of all, the most apathetic people you can find.
Is he a jerk or is he brain dead?
The second.
Okay.
Like, maybe officially not all there. Okay. But the most apathetic
guy at the parts store. I mean, it's the meme.
And I was going to say, the most apathetic person you can ever find is, like, the parts guy at the parts store who's just, like, doesn't care, doesn't know what's going on. And so I go back there. I start like sorting through hoses, like this preformed one I can cut and make work. So whatever, that's an hour wasted going to two different parts stores to try to find hoses. Come back, get it kind of set to go. What I wanted to do was once I had oil in it, crank it over so I can at least make sure I get good oil pressure, you know. And so I go to open the driver door. And these 944s, like old Volkswagens, have the trigger handle, right? It's not a push button. It's a little trigger. And the trigger is rock hard. And I'm sitting there and I'm pulling and I'm like
that is called
about
a door
to the
pull.
Point, door pull, right? The actuator. It's at the point where I'm going to break the aluminum cast metal.
It's obviously not moving.
It's not moving. It's like, crap. Okay. So then I go to the passenger door and I go, oh, this door is locked and the windows
are
up.
Why are the doors locked in the garage?
I don't know. Okay. I think I was working on something and hit the knob.
Yeah. Yep.
It accidentally locked it. And the keys are right there in the center console. Windows are up.
And this is like,
sunroof is closed.
This is like a flush lock too. It goes inside the door. And
yes.
It's like,
oh yeah. You can't grab it.
You know what's
smooth...
the worst? You remember, I don't know if this is something you've experienced, but like what? Old Fords, you'd have your arm up on the door sill.
Oh, and it doesn't go flush. And so it's, oh yeah.
And your arm is like, just, you're touching it like this. You're just like this. And someone locks it and it like sucks your skin inside the door.
And it pinches it.
Oh my God. Oh man. Someone's having a flashback right now that's listening. It's
or the opposite. If it's a very strong actuator and it's just go.
Yeah, that's never as bad as getting like a literal blood blister from your arm getting sucked inside the door of a Caprice.
I like that, yes. So I'm like, crap. I have a lock pick set. So I go to the driver door, and I'm picking it. And for whatever reason, it works out really well, and I'm able to unlock the driver door easily. But
let's do
just
because
it's unlocked, it
let's
doesn't...
Let's do some math.
Okay.
You get in and out of the car twice a day. Okay.
Sure.
What year is this thing?
87.
Okay. So it's an 87. It's how many years ago is 87? Like we got
36.
Let's go with 30 years. Make it easy.
It's 36, but
30
yes.
30 times 365. That's 100, what? That's 9,000, like however many days.
That times two.
Let's add conservatively. Say that it's only been driven half of those days.
Okay.
Because it hasn't been driven as much lately.
Sure.
That key has been in and out of there 10,000 times.
Yeah.
All right. That's why my math is probably wrong. Someone's freaking out. Maybe it's 1,000 times, 10,000. Maybe it's 100,000.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care. Thousands of times. I think it's 10,000 times. We'll average out. That's why that's so easy to pick. The tumblers are worn. Everything's loose.
Yep.
You know, it's why the key of your 911 opens the doors. Does your key also start my car, or is it just open the doors?
Yeah. No, it starts it as well.
Well, that's why. Because it's old as shit.
Yeah,
it's loose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm really proud of you for not going down an immature analogy route right there.
I did think about it.
I know you
did. Think about it.
Anyways, so, okay, I was able to pick that, unlock it. Great. But that still doesn't fix the problem of somehow that actuator handle is jammed.
Yeah.
So then I go around to the passenger side and I spend probably an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours trying to pick it. I just can't get it. I cannot get it. I'm so frustrated.
That one has probably been opened hundreds of times with a key.
Yeah. Maybe not even. Because you would get in and then you'd reach across and open it or something like that. And
unless you're like a really nice dude, like I will open the door for my wife.
For the lady.
And I will unlock. Yes. But it all depends on what she's wearing and how she looks. Right,
okay.
I don't do it for her all the time.
Yep.
But if she's dressed nice, is her makeup done, is wearing heels, we're out for dinner, I will do it.
So, you know, fun fact, we had an old Ford pickup, a 52, when I was growing up. My dad made it into a hot rod, and it only had the door lock on the passenger side. And I was like, how is that? And he goes, well, you're always going to open the passenger door for the lady first, and if you don't have anyone with you, there's no point in locking your doors anyways. I think that was actually the rationale, because then you open it and she'll open your side for you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just
and I sound
funny.
Like an asshole saying what I said, but I'm not opening anybody's door in the Home Depot parking lot. I ain't doing it. I'm not.
What
that,
do you mean?
I'm not going. If I go to Home Depot to pick up like bathroom caulking, and my wife goes with me, I'm not going to romantically walk over the door.
Oh, because it's not a romantic date. So you're only doing it on special occasions.
It just. It's and I don't even think about it. I got the bathroom caulk in my hand, you know, and then she's on the, you know, and then she goes in and she opens her own door. And yeah, it's plus I don't lock my doors anyway.
I know you don't. Yeah.
You see my 911.
Something to be said about
the doors are open. The keys are in it. Always. So
that's
it has led to my car being stolen and moved several times.
I am sure
it's happened and it's been threatened to have happened.
Why don't you at least take your keys with you? I get the leaving
it
open.
I don't like having stuff in my pockets. I don't like having stuff in my pockets.
Okay.
The thing I would lose the most at my house was my wallet or my money clip. And I would also lose my keys if I didn't leave them in the car.
Yes.
So I would have to carry three things, my phone, my keys, and my money clip. And they would all get separated from each other and be in random places of the
house. Keep them in your pockets.
No, because it doesn't look nice when your pockets are full of stuff. This comes from like a photographer point of view of, good for you. This comes from like a photographer point of view of like taking pictures of someone and knowing what they look like when their pockets
when you have
are full
little
of crap.
Square. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. You've got your keys over here, your wallet over here, your phone.
I was at a wedding you were shooting once and you did tell me to take all the crap out of my pockets, I believe.
You have
now
to.
That this
Otherwise
is bringing
you look,
back a memory.
It looks unkept. You know, if you're wearing a suit, you can put your phone in your suit pocket.
Sure, yeah.
And you can maybe have your wallet in your back pocket. You don't want your keys in your front pocket. So I leave the keys in the car. And I've consolidated. My phone now has a spot for my credit cards to slide into.
Yeah.
And my wife hates it. She says it makes me look like an old nerd. But I don't care.
Well, at least it's not the belt clip holster for your phone.
I do have the magnet thing on the phone for it. She says this is like the nerdiest thing ever. She doesn't like this at all. Anyway,
I do that. Yeah, put it on your dashboard.
That way I don't have it's all in the same spot. I don't lose anything because it is. I get really frustrated when I lose something. I have to constantly go, "Hey Siri, where are you?" All the time.
I'm over here.
Do you ever do that?
No.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, where are you?
She can hear you. Your phone isn't that far.
I know. Well, it's... dude.
Jesus.
I'm not an organized person. Let's just say. Let's just say. I try to be, but I'm not. So I lose things constantly. Anyway, that's why my keys are in my car.
That makes sense. Yeah. And mine were in my car, too, because I was working on it, not going anywhere. But then they were locked in there. And it was just like defeating. Like, I spent so much time, I wasn't making progress. So then my dad stopped by and was finally like, well, is there any way you can get through the bulkhead? I was like, sure, but then what? Like, I can get access to the floorboard. And he's like, well, the keys are right there. Because I'm thinking, like, how am I going to try to jury-rig a handle or something to pop the lock or open the handle? He's like,
it's just a fresh perspective.
Just get the keys and then you have access.
Someone comes over and within 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yep.
Just
and so I open the...
You get, like, I think... I honestly think this, a lot of people do this, but I also think it's an ADD thing where you get so hyper-focused on like, I'm doing this, it's going to work.
Yep.
And you just lose yourself in whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah. And then the other thing, you know, Colin came over to help and he was kind of working on his car too. And so it was distracting that we started working on his front struts and that was a failure because we spent a long time literally just demolishing his front strut thinking it was a rebuildable unit and it was not. Ugh. So just spent way too long on that, getting messy, and that was a distraction. But finally, opened.
Hold on.
Ahead.
Do not invite your friends over and have everybody work on their cars with your tools. It's not necessarily a good idea. You should have just been like, hey, we're going to finish your struts, then we'll work on this.
Yeah.
You start doing that, and it starts to get a little disjointed. All
hey,
sudden, the tools
my
you need
13?
It's not a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
Unless they bring their own tools, and then it's fine.
Right. But no. So that was also a distraction. And so finally, I took the fuse box cover off and you can remove the entire fuse block and all the wiring and get my
arm.
This
is in the cowl? Like up in like.
Yep. Up in the rain tray. Right.
Okay.
And so remove the like set aside the huge fuse block and I like scratch your arm as you're going in past all the wiring and fuses. And I had two magnet sticks taped together and I was able to reach the keys and boom, got right in.
There you go. But easy. Why didn't you just do that in the first place?
So then I went to crank it over and power, the starter doesn't engage. The horn just sits there and blares because maybe, hopefully, I didn't have the ECU plugged in.
Okay.
So I'm hoping once I do that, that'll start
up. I'm sure. I mean, the whole ignition needs to go through the...
I would assume so.
I don't know. Like, what is it? What year? 87?
87. Yeah.
There's no immobilizer on that, for sure.
No.
That doesn't exist.
Well... No,
does not.
It does have a separate. So 944s had a separate. I think 928s too have a separate key right behind the driver door, a lock switch, part of the body panel, the rear quarter panel for the alarm system. The factory alarm system had a separate key access. So that might be part of it too. But regardless, I wasn't able to crank.
You drove it.
And
did it lock?
Yes.
Did you lock that? Did you turn the alarm on for some reason?
No, I didn't try that.
Did you turn it on when you just, I'm going to do this project. Let me engage the alarm.
I did not. No.
Okay, well, then it's probably not that. Unless someone was fucking with you and they
took their
key and turned
it on. Well, who knows? Because
it
was a diesel, so nothing was wired up.
That's, well, That's true. Yeah, that's true, I guess. I don't know
this
how you're
all uncharted system. Territory. But regardless, it's just I felt like I wasn't making forward progress, and so I was really disappointed, and I didn't record any stories, and I ignored everyone. So that's what was going on.
Here's the deal.
And it's
everybody appreciates, and I think they love seeing tragedy a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But they appreciate the realness of projects. It's entertaining. You know, I always share my mistakes. You want to hear a mistake that I made?
That's sure. Like,
this is a good one.
Let's do it.
I had the 911. When you drove with me in the 911, it drove great, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was smooth. It was great. I had it dialed in.
Yeah, it seemed great.
And I decided I would put the bigger Venturis in and try it out.
Okay.
And then it didn't run right, and that's when I found out that things weren't synced. And I went back to baseline and start up. And it was like, it wasn't quite right. Something wasn't right. So I'm like, okay. It was the progression circuit still. Something was weird. And it just, it wasn't running right. It felt like one cylinder was weird. And then when I left Hans Auto Parts, it was like, wow, this thing sounds like a five cylinder. But then it would clear up and sound okay.
Okay.
What's going on? And this is a terrible mistake. Not terrible, but just stupid. Okay. I'm like, okay, I'll just put these. I keep going back and forth between different emulsion tubes, which is the computer for the fuel. It's what tells the fuel when to come on and how much for the progression circuit. I take the jets out. I'm going to put the other emulsion tubes in, and I start taking them apart.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cylinders had no air corrector in it. It wasn't even
just
there.
Just wide open hole.
Which
yeah,
means,
that'll do it.
Which
way
means
lean.
Not running. And that's the stuff, like, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I do. I know what I am doing.
But you
I can
get
take
distracted.
Them apart, put them back together with my eyes closed.
Right.
But you just make mistakes. And you have to be okay knowing. And this is for you. This is advice for you, Jake.
Okay.
You have to be okay with knowing that things are going to go wrong. If you cannot come to terms with the fact that things aren't going to go exactly how you plan.
Yeah.
What do they say? The best plans? Like,
oh, God laughs at your best form plans or something.
Yeah, something
right?
like that. Because it's going to go wrong. A battle plan only lasts until the first shot, right?
Yeah, there you go.
It's always going to go wrong.
You know what the mistake was?
And it's all about like going from, okay, I have this new problem. You have to enjoy solving problems. You have to enjoy it. You can't. The things that suck are when problems are unsolvable. Like when that carburetor was flooding for me before, it was an unsolvable problem. I couldn't figure it out.
I mean, you did eventually solve it.
I did, and I was very satisfying. But that was like an unsolvable problem that I was like, oh my
god, I know what you mean.
This is insane. But if you can like, and I can see how the door lock problem is frustrating because it's impeding your ability to work on the things that you want to.
Exactly.
I can understand that, but I do love the ingenious solution of taking the cowl
apart
and getting a magnet.
To my dad.
Okay. Yeah. So then you should be happy.
Yeah.
You're ready.
I should have been happy. Good to go. And then I wanted to crank it over. It's still in crank. I was like, well, I have to, the circuit board is out of the ECU box. So I'd have to like put that back together and plug it all in. And I might
that
as well
put it correctly
in the footwell and mount it where it should be if I'm going to go through that trouble. And I didn't do it. And so I moved back to the front and I did finish. I think every single vacuum line is now hooked up as it should be. I'm just going to go through. All I've left to do basically is like zip tie everything in place. So it's nice. And then put the intake manifold on and rock and roll.
That sounds like you have a nice afternoon ahead of you. One of the days this week to get it going.
Yes, I agree with that. And here's what I was going to say, Chris, is I think the problem was my mindset. I set a deadline for myself, you know, of it's going to run this weekend. And I got so defeated when I realized I was not going to make that in the beginning that I was like, duh. I was grumpy.
I can't say I ever set deadlines.
I
don't think I
when
ever
I came
knew
in,
that.
Nikki can attest, like I was really frustrated and grumpy.
Yeah, you gotta let that go, man. You gotta understand.
I think you're right.
That.
If I would have been like, you know, look, looking back, if I hadn't set that deadline, I'd be like, man, I made a bunch of progress on this thing. Like it's really close now.
Yeah, you set yourself up for failure and disappointment.
Big
for
time.
Sure. All right, we get into you know, I don't even know if I'll talk about what I've got going on, but what have you got for us?
I think the highlight was the petrol box that I got on Friday going into the weekend because I got a new t-shirt. I got two detailing supplies this time. I got the, you know how like Armor All is usually really shiny and it kind of like is slippery looking and wet? the good detailing spray doesn't leave the shiny film anywhere. So that was the good detailing spray we got for the interior. Got a quick wax that I always use. It's always really good, helpful stuff. Got a pin, got a sticker, got the t-shirt I mentioned. What else? Oh, there was the plastic razor blade kit, which was really helpful. Yeah. Those are really good. If you don't want to scratch your paint, but you got to get something off. Very good.
Stickers.
So it's always helpful, awesome stuff. It's always fun to get in the mail. It's like a birthday present or Christmas. It makes a great gift. Sometimes even for yourself. Head over to mypetrolbox.com. Check it out there. Use the code Overcrest, and that'll get you a discount on your order as well.
All right. So I got a bunch of parts. I'm frustrated right now because I can't. I have things I can do. Here's my mentality right now.
Okay.
I have stuff I can do. I have a fuel pump. I could technically I could figure out the fuel system, get the fuel lines ran, mount the pump, stuff like that. But I don't need fuel right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have trouble going, I'm going to do this. I don't do things until I need to do them for some reason. Like, I like to go in the order that I need to get things done. I mean, it would be good to get the fuel pump mounted up and have it work. But the problem is it needs to be wired into Keon from the ECU, not from just Keon power, I think.
That makes sense.
I would like to do it that way. That way, if the motor turns off, the fuel pump will turn off.
Yes, that would be good.
Which is more otherwise modern, having an ECU to that stuff. So I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. I got rings. I pulled the cylinder head. It's off at the shop. I got rings. Dude, I'm doing everything now.
Did your cylinder head guy get back to you at all to say, like, it's good, it's not
yet.
Good?
I told him. It was funny. When I was there, it's Tom's cylinder head service. He's been there for the eternity of me being in Minnesota and working at cars. Tom has been there. He was very young when I met him. Now he's not young, but he's not old. So he knows what he's doing. He runs a very tight ship, clean shop.
Awesome.
I love
it.
Tom.
Did look
if you're
like
in
a
Minnesota
clean shop. Yeah.
Cylinder head service. It is not the cheapest. It isn't.
Well, good work but generally
dude,
is
like
not.
If you look at his machines, they all look brand new. They've been there for 20 years. Okay, so everything's very nice, well maintained. There's not metal shavings all over the place.
Yeah.
You could eat off of
the
all of his equipment.
Chris,
he knows what he's doing. Anyway, so this guy walks into the shop, drops off a couple like Buick heads or something. And Tom goes, and this is Tuesday. Tom goes, "Hey, when do you need this stuff back by?" And the guy goes, "I'd really love to have it. You know, I'm a by the weekend kind of guy." And Tom just goes, "I'll see what I can do. No promises." Writes his name down. The guy leaves. And Tom looks at me, he goes, "When do you need this by?" I go, "Well, I'm a like maybe the middle of next week, into next week. Take your fucking time because I'm not in a huge hurry and I don't want to stress your life out." kind of guy. And he's like, "I like that kind of guy." I'm like, I figured you would. So I'm not like,
that's funny.
I'm waiting for parts. I don't need the head at all right now. I don't need it. Yep. I need to do rod bolts, rod bearings. Rod bolts and main bolts are all stretch. You torque them to a certain point, and then you torque them a little bit more, and then they wink.
And like you can't use them again. Then
can't use them again. So all that's got to get shit canned. I bought ARP for the main bolts, and I bought factory bolts for the rods.
Explain to me though, why are you replacing and taking apart the crank and the all this?
Okay, so I took the rods apart.
Why?
And well, the rods have to come out to hone the cylinders. Okay, the cylinders are worn out in the block. They
got
the cross hatching, which is what carries the oil.
So
it holds
here
the oil.
Is my I had a question for you, Chris. Sorry to interrupt. Because you shared photos of like, you can see the cross hatching in the cylinders, and it looked fairly good. It was just where the water and that surface rust, everything was in there. And I was like, well, you could just run a ball hone down it, maybe with pistons in place, which you don't want to do.
You can't because the rings sit like a half an inch to an inch down the side of the piston.
Right. So you would never get as far down as you need to.
You'll never get that. Plus, everything's apart. The oil pan's off because I have to swap the oil pan around.
So you're already there. You might as well pull them.
Just pull it.
That makes sense.
So I'm going to do all the bearings. I got to take the crank out, which I just fucking do not want to do. But I'm going to do everything. I'm just going to do it all. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm there. It's all apart. I'm going to do it. One of the rod bearings I pulled out was fine. The other one, when you have a bearing, the bearing should never touch anything. You've got a journal, which is where the rod goes around. It's a circle. This is too technical. Nobody cares about this. Anyway, so bearing was worn. There's some coatings on the bearing. It's like a silver coating on the bearing, And then underneath that is a darker gray coating on the bearing.
Oh,
and
so underneath you can tell.
I don't know if that's why. I just know that's the way it is. And underneath that is brass. That's why when you see brass in your oil, your bearings are toast. Shot. Okay, yeah. Some of these bearings were, you could just barely start to see the dark gray. One of them was like the bearing was smeared a little bit, which means that it had hooked the crank at one point or it hooked it. So it like yoinks it a little bit and it smears it. Imagine like smearing peanut butter on a piece of bread.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. You have it nice and smooth and then you hook it and it smears and it's uneven. And I said, okay, well, that's it. I got to do the bearings. Yeah. So that's all. So I got all that stuff is on the way. So I can't do anything. So why bother Tom? You know, why be like, hey, where's my filter head?
Yeah.
So I can get it back here. So my fear is that
I can sit here.
My fear is that there's a crack internally in the cylinder head because the head was true. And
that's what
it's going to either need to be repaired or it's going to need to be replaced. I don't know. Either way, Stand Up Ivan gave me $1,500 back, which helps out with a lot of
that's
this.
That's cool.
FCP Euro, one of our partners, helped me out. They gave me a little bit of cash in my account to buy some rings and bearings and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So that is awesome. Really that helped me out a lot because I've shelled out a lot of money there initially, and now they're helping me out some of this other stuff because they're, you know, I don't like to ask for help.
No.
But it was nice for them to reach out and offer to help.
Yeah. No,
amazing.
They're
love
an awesome
FCP Euro.
Awesome great company. Great partner.
Anyway, so that's where that project is at. So I'm just kind of chilling. I'm waiting for parts. Just kind of tinkering around on things.
No, you got the correct oil pan, though.
I did. So I went over to Hans Foreign Auto, my favorite junkyard here in Minnesota. If you drive
little
European
local scrapyard,
look them up. They probably have your old. There's Audi 5000s there, complete.
Yeah. Wow.
I just took throttle switches off of one of them. Like, there's a lot of obscure old European shit that's not in the catalog that they have. Don't go
that's
calling
cool.
those guys and be like, hey, Chris told me to. I was wondering if you have a 1987 Scirocco with it. Don't do that to me. Don't embarrass me.
Well,
just look on their website. Maybe call. Like, don't say it was me because I don't want like 9,000 people.
That's
calling.
Gonna be great.
I try to help those guys out. I've sold a bunch of parts for them to different people, and in return they helped me out too. So I'm buying four of these oil pans.
Why?
Because they're $175 a piece from him. So I'm buying all the oil pans they have. They're $500 on eBay. Because this is the swap. You need this oil pan if you're putting an old BMW in or a new BMW engine in an old BMW, like an old E30. So they're harder to
this
find.
This is
they're
what
becoming
people
scarce.
Want. And for whatever reason,
so I got one for myself. I got one for Mike Burrows because he's building he's putting an S52, I think, in a E30. And then the Leichbauwerks stock guys.
Yep.
I'm just going to give them the other two because they're helping us out with the scholarship car. And I want to help them out. They do a lot of swaps. So, hey. Pass it
that's
on.
Awesome.
I'm not going to try and flip this stuff. I'm just trying to share the love.
That's really
we're
cool.
going to send them out to those guys and help everybody out. Help everybody get their projects done.
I love it. Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
We'll be keeping track of your progress there.
Yeah, a little bit. So I got a little bit of news. I picked out a few articles. So
we haven't
like
done
news
a month. In a long time. Yeah.
I feel like once a month. I go through and I find what I think is interesting from last month. Some is
Tell
totally,
me what's interesting.
Totally trivial and doesn't even fucking matter. And some is pretty important.
Okay.
So a little bit more on the EV. I know everybody hates hearing about EV, but guess what? It's just the way it is. Porsche's iconic 911 to be the sole survivor of automakers' combustion models. You may have seen this popping around social media a little bit. And it's interesting that this is even a thing because I know the Taycan sales, I don't know the numbers, but they're way down.
Oh, really?
Like, bad. Yeah, the sales are not
good. I didn't
know
that.
I don't know how this is going to go. I think everybody, all these manufacturers are just be like, they're just going to be, this is what we have to sell. Buy the EV or don't. Don't buy anything then if you don't want to. I don't care. I feel like that's their attitude because nobody's buying some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Porsche has a plan to gradually electrify its car lineup so that electric vehicles make up 80% of sales by 2030, and aims to make its iconic 911 the only internal combustion engine model left standing, the top executive said. Interrupt me at any time if you have a comment. The German luxury automaker's plans have been closely watched, including by environmentalists, because of its investment in e-fuels and push for the EU to allow sales of such vehicles after 2035.
That's right.
Yeah. Porsche, which had not previously outlined plans to ultimately have one combustion engine model, is seen as closely associated with e-fuels. Because of an investment in Chilean energy company, HIF Global. And I've reached out to HIF like multiple times. I want to get somebody on the podcast from there. But I don't speak Chilean. I suppose it's probably Spanish, not Chilean.
No, it's actually Portuguese. Chilean?
Portuguese?
In Chile? Well, I'm thinking Brazil.
Whatever it is, I don't speak it. The automaker will electrify its compact SUV Macan, followed by the 718. So there will be no gasoline Boxster, no gasoline Cayman.
Huh.
Hello, GT4. Gonzo. Gas car. Gonzo.
Wow.
Followed by the 718.
Did you say
car.
You had a timeline on that?
2035. 2030. Okay. Probably 2035 is, I think, when it becomes illegal. So what they're trying to do, I think, here is they're trying to give themselves a buffer zone to get this this synthetic fuel done and allowed to be used. Because if they can get synthetic fuel allowed in the EU, then they'll keep making some of these boutique. They're going to become very, very expensive.
Well,
and the fuel is very expensive. So they're trying to get this buffer zone of like, we're investing in this company. They're playing a game, right? They're trying to be like, we're going to research this. We're going to try and get this done. Hopefully the EU allows us to use this stuff by 2030, 2035. We're going to keep making it. And hopefully it works out is kind of what it seems like. Seems what they're doing.
I know we've talked about these e-fuels in the past. It's basically just a synthetic, non-petroleum. Well, it's petroleum. Is it petroleum based or not petroleum based? I guess it's ethanol,
it's like,
basically.
It's sucked out of the air. Remember?
Right. Yeah. But and so yeah, the fact the E part is just saying that
it's not
completely recaptured.
Fuel.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's recaptured.
My question is,
becomes net zero. Basically, is what they're saying.
Correct.
So the
The
pollution that's in the air is it's pulling it out of that, I guess.
Yes. Here's my question, though.
I sound like a moron, which is why I want someone on the podcast from HIS.
Yes, I think that would be good. My question is this, though. Do you, like, you know how you can't run E85 on regular vehicles? You need to, like, change out components, et cetera. Are we going to have to, if you're going to be using this e-fuel stuff in the future, are you going to have to modify your old cars in order to take it?
I don't know what the thermodynamic qualities of how much power
the energy,
the thermal energy
density. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. HIS Global e-fuel is more aimed at the aviation industry and heavy vehicles, as passenger cars will almost all go electric. So it's still, you know, nobody wants to run, be on a job site in a bulldozer and have it be electric, because that the amount of power and torque that it.
Right.
There's just not enough energy density in a battery to be able to do that.
We've always talked about, aviation will never go electric for the mainstream.
I just saw something. There's solid state batteries that are coming out that they think they're going to be able to. Yeah.
Really?
Which is going to be great when an airplane bursts into flames. Automotive and business experts say e-fuels will be in niche high-end models. Major automakers will likely avoid new e-fuels after 2035, having committed $1.2 trillion to electrification.
Oh,
that must be as like a on a global scale. Think about that. If anybody thinks for a second that this ain't going to happen, there's people out there like, it ain't going to never happen. Their infrastructure's not there. Nobody wants these things. It ain't going to happen. As he like puts his dentures in and sits on his porch in Alabama. Okay. Guess what? It's happening because these guys are spending $1.2 trillion, it's nothing for them to give $1 billion in lobbying to shove it down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I've got an article coming up here. Maybe I shit can it. Oh yeah. Right here. Paris to charge SUV drivers, higher parking fees to tackle auto-obesity.
Auto-obesity. I like that.
Yeah. So this is what they're doing. They're going to make it untenable. They're just because your car is big, you have to pay more for parking. They're going to squeeze, twist, you know, like you ever get an Indian burn? You remember those?
Oh yeah, or a snake bite.
That's what
snake
this is. This is the Indian burn. It's snake bite. Yeah, snake bite. Whatever it is, this is what they're doing. They're going to squeeze and twist.
I'm curious if the U.S. goes back a little bit and retracts some of the actual legal stipulations around that. Like, you can maybe still sell gas cars beyond 2035. There could be pushback on that. But
no, they're not, dude. They've invested so much money in the technology, the assembly lines, the batteries.
There's
not going to continue to do it.
Manufacturers.
No, no, they're going to. I've said this time and time again. I know I sound like a broken record. They're not going to sell them. And the guy that wants to continue to drive it is going to suffer for doing so. In terms of fees, gas taxes, everything. It's going to become hard. You're not going to be able to drive your car here. this auto-obesity thing, guess what? Yeah. It's not just going to be for SUVs pretty soon. Pretty soon in France or in Paris, whatever, if you even drive a Geo three-cylinder Metro that's been hit in the rear and the front and is now 30% smaller than it even was in the first place, you're still going to pay a fee just because it takes gas.
Yeah. Or it just won't be allowed. Like
Ferrari says they will continue to build cars with internal combustion engines into the late 2030s, despite efforts by governments around the world to phase out the technology. The boss of the Italian manufacturer. Here's the thing.
What?
They are a small company.
They're very small.
They're not investing trillions, right? They're not doing that. They're not on the scale of Volkswagen Auto Group and Porsche, where they have somewhere in Chile that's making synthetic fuels. Ferrari's not doing that. They can't do it. So they're
right.
The company is due to introduce its first electric car in 2025. Blah blah blah. Nevertheless, Ferrari is planning to launch its fully electric model in 2 years' time. So they're going to do it. They just a lot of this is lip service.
To the enthusiasts.
It's just, well, we're not going to do that, but they're going to do it because they don't have a choice.
A choice, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, depressing. So what else you got? Any different?
I'm going to share my screen here.
News.
Yeah, I want to share a vehicle with you that is for sale.
Okay.
Window. This one.
I'm excited.
Actually, I have to share a tab.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I have to share a tab. Otherwise, the audio is not going to work. All right.
Correct.
I'm going to have to go back.
Oh, there's audio you want to bring.
Okay. Well, eventually. Okay, here we go. All right. This car is for sale for $1.7 million. Let me know. Did you read it?
It's a BMW 7 Series, an old one.
Yeah.
96 7 Series for $1.75 million.
Look more closely, please, at the photos and the description.
Death Row Records.
This
BMW
is...
BMW Tupac Shakur was shot in?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the 1996 BMW 7 Series that Tupac Shakur was murdered in. Actually, you know what? I need to get some... Let me get some music going
here. Some Tupac going?
Yeah, I need to get some.
You can see the bullet holes. What? Okay, and so they're selling this somewhere.
Yes. So this is for sale. It's a $1.7 million. What's funny though is you see like this. See the shot, the picture with the bullet holes in the door.
Yeah.
They fixed it. They fixed the bullet holes in the door.
Oh, see that's
which
dumb.
Is kind of like a huge.
I mean, I'm sure
because there's probably a lot of F-bombs in this song.
Maybe don't play it. I don't know.
Hold on. Let's let it go for like 20 seconds.
I can't
for the vibe.
Hear it. I can't hear it. So
okay. Oh, it's not live. Hold on. Let me start it over. I got to start over. We gotta have the tunes going. All right. You ready?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
All right. We'll give this like 30 seconds to get the vibe going. You know what's funny is when I was a kid, I was probably 13, 14. I had this album.
Really?
I thought I was pretty dope. I had this album, and then I think this is the one where he talks about how much he loves his mom too. And I also had The Chronic by Dr. Dre. And my dad was like a Lynyrd Skynyrd kind of guy.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that didn't fly.
Yeah, there's this song. There's this song on The Chronic where the guy talks about.
Turn it down a little bit.
It's like almost all the way down. All right. There's this song on The Chronic where a guy sticks a gun in this dude's mouth and like shoots him. Like he slides the gun in the guy's mouth and blows his head off. And my dad listened to this whole record and was like, "You can't listen to this." And he broke the CD in half.
Yeah.
That was the end of that. All right.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. Okay. So go through the pictures of this a little bit. I wonder if these are the wheels. Let's look up.
I was wondering.
Yeah, I'm going to grab this. This
verifies
this
basically the VIN is actually
Tupac
his.
Shakur murder car. Let's pull up, see if we can find a picture of like from the crime scene. Yeah, that's it. Here it is. Here's a picture of it right here. So those are the original wheels.
Oh,
it's got a flat.
Okay.
Oh, it got damaged. Look at the wheels all bent.
Yeah, I see that.
See that? The wheels all bent.
So I don't know the story.
This is for watching us. What do you mean?
If like, was he was shot, obviously. Do we know who shot him? Do we know what happened?
We don't. Okay. So he was shot and killed. It was like East Coast, West Coast, right? And that Suge Knight is in the car with him, and he got murdered. I think it was in either Notorious B.I.G. got murdered in response to Tupac being killed, or Tupac got killed in response to the Notorious B.I.G. being murdered.
Wow. But,
yeah. So I've got this little news story here for us.
Okay.
Pull this up. Oh,
there's
no.
one simple hearing hack.
No,
anyone
I don't want to use simple hearing. Well, we'll watch the simple hearing hack. We can skip it in 2 seconds.
Prove their hearing almost
Sorry about
overnight.
That.
And police are once again looking into the murder of rapper Tupac Shakur. The cold case from 1996 was recently reopened. 25-year-old Shakur was killed in a drive-by shooting in Las Vegas. Last week, police searched
Las Vegas
Jake. Home in connection to the murder, according to a warrant. It included computers, a copy of Vibe magazine. About-
they seized a copy of Vibe magazine from some dude's house. Like, that's, I don't understand. Can't you just go to the library and get a copy?
Why?
Tupac. Photographs and other documents as well. All of that was taken from the home. For more on the investigation, we're joined by Lena Nozizwe. She's a journalist and the podcaster behind Tupac's murder was his case.
Let's,
Lena, talk to us.
I kind of want to hear this. I watched this. Let's hear this.
And why it's reopening now.
Well, I think that's a really good question as to why now. And I think there's maybe personnel change. Perhaps there's something that's happened in terms of somebody coming forward.
Okay, she doesn't have a clue. Exactly. That's basically what I heard right there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
okay,
I don't,
that's
just
very
Tupac Shakur's
strange.
Car is $1.7 million.
Or whoever is selling the car decided to reopen the case for more publicity. And by the way, you can buy the car,
Jake.
Huh?
You can't, as a private citizen, you can't reopen the case.
Yeah, but what if it's like what the detective is the one that has the car?
No,
somehow.
It's Celebrity Cars Las Vegas. I want let's see.
He's commissioning the detective who reopened the case is commissioning the car sale through Celebrity Cars.
All
Las
right,
Vegas.
Let's look and see. Like, is there?
It's all a conspiracy, Chris. It's all a conspiracy.
Celebrity Cars. What else have they got? They've got.
Is it only cars owned by celebrities?
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, click on that Corvette.
No. No.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
No
story behind it.
Well, we got Al Capone's car here. Sorry if you're not.
Oh,
watching.
Is that what that is?
You should be watching if you're not. Yeah, 1920 Cadillac.
You're not missing a whole
bulletproof
lot.
Town sedan.
Oh, that's cool. A 1928 Cadillac.
Yeah, look at this. Boom.
Gangsta rap. What? Why did that say gangsta rap?
It's
from
probably
a 1928?
Some new thing. I wonder if there's got to be a picture of like the bulletproof stuff, right?
It's got to be just like quarter inch plating in the doors or something.
Oh, I'm sure. This is, we're talking 20s here. Well, look at that hood ornament. Good grief.
That is quite the hood ornament. Yeah.
Come on.
It's a big Cadillac V8 from 1928. That's pretty.
Apparently
that's a wild
didn't
car.
Didn't he get shot? I think he got shot.
Capone? Yeah. Probably not in the car.
Probably not in this one. It's bulletproof. Anyway. All right.
Tupac should have learned his lesson from.
Let's stop sharing. How do I stop it? Okay. I have some good news for you.
Okay. I like it.
This is reasonably good news. Volkswagen design chief has decided to make electric cars look more normal.
Good.
That's
finally.
It. That's the whole
story. That's the whole story. That's it. Okay.
In my opinion, there's a whole thing we could read here. But yeah. Didn't
Volkswagen also start going backward on their whole touchscreen interface situation too?
Yeah, there's
that was a while ago.
There's
they
actually
said that...
another story I had here. People are getting fed up with all the useless tech in their cars. For the first time in 28 years of J.D. Power's car owner survey, there is a consecutive year-over-year decline in satisfaction, led by frustration with car infotainment.
Good.
So, I mean, we just have to see where things go.
And guess what? That probably correlates with the amount of touchscreens in the car, too, because you should not have to swipe through menus as you're driving to get to, like, your heated seat menu. You know what I mean? It's
nope.
It's so dumb.
Well, the problem is that technically, none of this stuff should be in a car to begin with. None of it. It should just be a fucking radio. You can have a radio, you can have the GPS, but you don't need to be having your phone with all these haptic buttons, with iDrive and all these different things that you're supposed to be able to control with your BMW little knob that you turn and you can bounce around between different things. And, oh, we got to set our suspension to sport. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, the exhaust is too loud. Let me close the flap on these. All this stuff
is
too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot of features. It's too
that's
too
what
many.
We're talking about. This is like the... What is it? The intuition of how to use a car is very important.
Right.
Just for example, when people used to ask me all the time, hey, Chris, what camera should I buy? And I would always say, whichever one is going to make you take the most pictures.
Yeah, sure.
Because I can't go and pick up a Nikon and use it. I don't want to relearn it. It's not intuitive to me. I have no idea what I'm doing. So whichever one is going to, you're going to learn the fastest, and it's going to become something that you can use without thinking about what button you're pushing to do what. When I'm using a camera, I don't have to look at the screen. I know exactly what's happening. And,
sure.
And it's starting to shift a little bit as things go into mirrorless. It's a little harder because they've added like the touch screen to everything. The old mirrorless SLRs, all the buttons were in certain places and you could move them if you wanted to, where you can say, I'm going to change my aperture by doing this. I'm going to change my ISO, my exposure, what mode I'm in, shutter priority, aperture priority, program, whatever. And it was all consistent camera to camera to camera, year after year. And now that I think about it, cameras are really suffering from the same problem too with the mirrorless stuff. But if you're not going to be able to use it without thinking about what you're doing, you might as well not even have it.
Right.
You can't be sitting there driving a 3,000-pound wrecking ball death machine trying to figure out how to make your exhaust flapper be louder by pushing buttons and scrolling through a menu.
You're right.
You can't. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be doing anything. I'm guilty. I love CarPlay. It helps me. I like using it. I think it's great, but technically you should be using it for navigation only. I shouldn't be going into my messages, having it read me things, going into my, I want to listen to a podcast.
It's all a distraction.
Let me pull that up. Let me hit this button. Oh, I've got all these shows to choose from. It's too much. It's too much.
I see that.
You know, and I think people are frustrated with how much there is to do, especially, I'm guessing, older people. I can't imagine my 90-year-old grandpa getting into a brand new car and being like,
it's not intuitive at all.
Yeah, it was too much. Actually, what happened was we got him a, you know, he wanted like a great last car, right? He's 91 now. He's 91.
Sure.
Old. He's ancient. So he's 85 years old, 86. He's like, we got rid of his Lex. He had a front-wheel drive Lexus. He's like, I'm so tired of front-wheel drive cars. They wander on the road. They don't drive straight. That's what he said.
Okay.
Kind of right. They tend to wander a little bit more with the motor or driving the wheels and things like this. They will, you know, torque steer, do different things. So I understand.
I was going to say, how heavy into the pedal is he getting to torque steer?
Well, it's just talking about driving on the freeway. A front-wheel drive car will not track as nicely as a rear-wheel drive car. They just don't.
Okay.
Just the way it is. Chris, I want a nice rear-wheel drive car. Find me something. So, okay. So I got him like a brand new E-Class Mercedes. Well, not brand new. It was a couple years old. It's like a $45,000 car. Paid cash for it. You know, he doesn't spend money on anything, okay?
Right.
He doesn't spend money ever. Just please spend some money, dude. Come on. You don't need to take it with you. So anyway, so he buys this car, and he likes the way the car drives, but he cannot figure out how to use it. The thing's telling him to pull over and get a coffee and take a break. Because he's not managing the steering the way the car wants him to.
Yep.
And it's the steering wheel's vibrating. Anytime he even touches a center line, he had to shit can the car. We had to take it and trade it. He ended up with a Tiguan with no features. And that's what he wanted, because that's what his attention span could handle.
No, and I think that makes sense. It's not even attention span.
Obviously, it's just because he's an elderly gentleman. But us as human beings can only handle so much. We can only, their distracted driving is out of control. The ability to learn this stuff, every car is different. There's no standard. The buttons all over the place. My Golf, the Golf R, buttons all over the place. And they're all like, some of them are haptic, some of them aren't. The new Volkswagens are all haptic. They're not haptic touch. They're all just like, touch it.
Oh,
just
glass touch. Thing. Yeah.
Just there's no feedback whatsoever. So you have to look to do anything because
that's
there's
super
no
distracting.
Fucking button.
Which I think
Cadillac actually went back to buttons, I saw, which is nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of manufacturers are going that way. So that's good.
Yeah,
do you have any other news? Or
I don't really.
Should we end on a good note?
This isn't a good note. Good note. The Nissan Skyline is coming back again.
Let
me show you a picture of it, and then we can react.
Are they going to call it the R36 now?
No, I'll show you what it looks like. Where is this thing? Boop.
Boop, boop. Yeah, because I knew they don't sell the R35. No. Really?
There it is. That's it.
No.
Yeah. The new Nissan Skyline will become an electric SUV.
No.
Yep. Right here.
I don't believe it.
Okay,
now,
is this different?
The Nissan. Okay. So are they calling this the Skyline, just using that namesake, but it's not the GTR, right? The
GTR
will still be.
It's the same thing they did with the Mustang program. Yeah, or whatever I get it. It is.
You're right. That's exactly right? what it is.
It's just ruining. It's just ruining the name.
Yeah. Who was I talking with the other day? I was like,
the Toyota Crown is becoming an SUV too, and that is a
that's sad.
A damn shame too.
I know. It's all these classic names. I forget who I was talking to. Like, what is Nissan doing these days? Like, you don't see many Nissans.
No, Nissan has been suffering. I think we've talked about
same with Mitsubishi.
Suffering quite a bit.
I think there is something to the fact that if you don't have the capital to invest in EV, like you can't keep up, right?
I guess. Well, I don't know, man. Maybe, but I think EVs are pretty easy to design too.
Yeah,
because you just need the skateboard design.
Yeah,
I don't know. Buy Tupac Shakur's 7 Series. You know,
that's the takeaway.
It had 2,000 miles on it when he was shot. And now it has 120,000 miles on it. So someone's been driving around that rolling coffin every day. That could be yours.
Wow.
Yeah. $1.7 million. Dollars.
No, thank you.
One of his rings, I saw a thing. It was like a gaudy ring. It was a ring with a crown on it. Like,
okay.
Like standing proud. Like it was like, sold for $1 million. So the car. Okay. I mean,
it's a bargain is what you're saying. It's a bargain.
It's a bargain. All right. That's it, guys. Okay. So next week, have you seen Transformers?
I've not seen the newest one. No.
Have you seen any trailers for it?
I actually haven't. I know nothing about it.
We're going to watch the trailer. We're going to pull up.
Okay. Is it still, it's not Shia LaBeouf anymore, I assume.
Oh, no. That's long gone, dude. All right. So this is Rise of the Beasts. Rise of the Beasts. We're going to get this thing pulled up. Yep, this is an official trailer, so there's not going to be a stupid ad. Share screen, ad, blah, blah, blah. This is still kind of clunky to do this. Can I make this full screen? I can.
Wait. Why was he a mechanical gorilla?
For centuries, our kind has stayed hidden on Earth.
You'll know it when you see it. You're going to get hit with it and know exactly who we're having on the podcast.
Has found us again. Prime. This is about the fate of all living things. Unicron is coming.
Not unicorn, Unicron.
Unicron. Okay. There is something about Optimus Prime that is undeniably cool.
Okay.
Right? I mean, did you ever have the Transformers toys when you were growing up?
Yeah,
like
I did.
Like the cab over Peterbilt.
Yeah, it's a cool truck.
The other Transformer movies were kind of lame because it was like a newer Peterbilt. It wasn't the cab over.
Yeah.
This takes place in like the early 80s.
So it's the cab over again?
It's the cab over. I don't know if
1994.
Whatever.
Oh. Nice. 964.
964.
Back up.
Oh, I thought we were boys.
You want it? Come and get it.
You brought a human here.
I'm nobody. I ain't even seen nothing. I'm not even seeing anything right now.
Lots of great car chase scenes in this one.
Really? Stop.
This is not our war.
Optimus, we must trust each other to protect the home we all share.
How big can this guy be? That thing's big.
He eats planets. So, like, way bigger than a planet.
In the end, everything you cared for will be consumed.
Maybe there's another way to save our home.
You've never faced anything like this. Let them come.
I just love this stuff, man. It just makes me feel like a little kid again. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that a motorcycle transformer? Oh, that's cool. Okay, so
all right.
Big takeaway is there is an old Porsche.
There's an old Porsche in here, and the driving scenes in here, of that old Porsche are super cool. And it has the right sound, has the right right look. It looks like an RS. Looks like a 3.8 RS or something. Obviously it is not. But there was a few of these cars, and you know what? I'm gonna get you guys excited. I'm gonna pull up his Instagram, and I'm gonna show you guys a couple of his some of the pictures that he has on his Instagram. We are having Brett, who is the guy who stunt drove this car. He's a super
stunt
cool
driver
dude.
That was in the new Transformers.
That's right. So this is him.
Cool.
This is him right here. Oh,
yep.
Darn it. Okay, so we can only look at the thumbnails for now. He's a cool dude. He has one leg. He's got a carbon fiber leg. He's a stunt driver with a carbon fiber leg, and he managed to get all this done. And there's a picture that I want to grab here. Oh my gosh. It just wants me to sign in over and over again.
I know. That's what you do.
My apologies. All right. Well, we'll do this again before we have him on. We're going to look at some of these pictures because there's some things that I want to show you that is done with this car for the stunt driving that is super, super cool. So Brett's going to be on next week on the podcast. You guys will have
that
to look forward to. In the meantime, Jake is going to go get motivated and get his 951 running, and I'm going to build a BMW engine. And that should all be done next week. I'm giving you a deadline. It should run by next week. Don't get frustrated.
No, we just said we can't do deadlines because then you won't be frustrated.
Well, you just can't be frustrated when you miss the deadline. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, but you can still shame me, though, right?
Yeah, I can. I can. For more than you looking dumb in a hat.
Yes. Okay. Very good. No more hats and get your car done.
All right. We will see you guys next week.
Take care. Stronger than ever. Back to get ready.